is The Fantasy Show with Shoali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, Canada. Good morning. Joe Adley and Matt Marchese with you here on this lovely Sunday morning. Week 7 continues today across the NFL. We're here for all your injury news and notes, trades, of course, and as we saw this week, start sits for every game, and of course, your fantasy start sit questions at 590-590, name and location. You can tweet us those questions as well. At SNS Ali with two L's, at MattyMar89, and at The Fantasy Show. But Matt Marchese is alongside me as always. And Matt, it's been a good week. Leafs got off to a good start last night. They went 4-1. That's always nice. The NBA has returned. The Yankees, they lose to the Astros and are now down 3-0 in the ALCS. That's always nice for me. And to top it off, during Thursday night football between the Saints and the Cards, we got a massive trade that sends some shockwaves through the world of fantasy football as running back Christian McCaffrey has been dealt to the San Francisco 49ers. Look, my immediate read on this was please, please, please stay healthy. But I don't know about you. To me, it's undeniable that as long as he does stay healthy, he will absolutely be a difference maker in a Kyle Shanahan offense that likes to run the ball and run it some more.
Yeah, and it's my first reaction was, oh, they added another running back, I don't think they have figured out that the problem it was not at the running back position, but it's actually at quarterback. They don't have a good enough quarterback to win. So, I mean, the package that they gave up, it was a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. I mean, if you think that you can win a Super Bowl with Christian McCaffrey in your lineup, then sure, that's a trade that you make. For fantasy purposes, it should be a gold mine for him. I mean, you don't acquire Christian McCaffrey to run him 10 times a game. Like, you acquire Christian McCaffrey for that package to run him, you know, he's going to get 20 touches a week. That's what you expect. And it is 20 touches in a higher value offense. Just like we talked about, you know, whether it be, we can use Carolina as an example, like just because, and we'll get to it in a bit, but just because, you know, Deonta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard are going to get more touches doesn't mean they're as good as touches in another offense. So Christian McCaffrey goes to the Niners where it's clearly the best team that he's ever played on. You know, Debo Samuel's there, Brandon Ayuk's there, George Kittle's there. And even the running backs, like Jeff Wilson was fine in place of Elijah Mitchell, who's also going to be back, I believe, in the next couple of weeks from what we've been told that he was going to miss 8 weeks. So it's a good offense for him to go into. I'm just surprised that it was San Francisco because all they do is spend draft capital on running backs. I feel like they've drafted a running back in the third or second round, like the last 3 or 4 years. Plus they added Elijah Mitchell in the sixth round last year. So, I mean, I guess they'll get this one right because they didn't draft Christian McCaffrey, but it's certainly a good fit for both fantasy purposes and real NFL purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it couldn't exactly be a whole hell of a lot worse than whatever was
Correct.
Going on in Carolina, right? Like it just can't. I don't care if you don't feel that great about Jimmy G as a quarterback or the health prospects or whatever. But here, I'll say this. This was from one of the radio shows in San Francisco, right? This was the producer of one of the producers of the KP show on KNBR in San Fran. And this was his entire answer. Okay, from Kyle Shanahan, who I guess joins the show every week or something like that, right? So he said something like this. I know when you look at a player like Christian medically coming out of college, we had the highest medical grade on him of any player we have ever got since we've been here. He never had injuries. He's the cleanest guy that we could have. It started that way for 2 years in the NFL, the first 3 years. I know the last 2 years haven't been the same. watching him this year, he's back to his full health. It's 100% commitment to being the best he can be at what he does. Okay, so that was from the 21st, which is a couple days ago around lunchtime. I think that was like Thursday or Friday. Last night, Ian Rapoport tweeted out, new 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey is expected to play on Sunday versus the Chiefs, despite only being acquired late on Thursday night in a trade. So that was last night at 10 p.m. Eastern. And an hour later, Pro Football Talk tweeted out, the 49ers plan to use Christian McCaffrey sparingly on Sunday against the Chiefs. Now, and I think Matt Maiococo, who I think writes for NBCS in San Fran, also said that there's no, like, set amount of touches he's going to get. It's, like, as fast as he can absorb the playbook is the amount of times he'll is how much he'll correlate to him being on the field. I'm curious, like, when you think about what we can expect from Christian McCaffrey, and it's not made any easier by the fact that I think the 49ers play one of the mid-slate of games, like one of those 4:30 games instead of one of the 1 Eastern games, so that does not make your decision any easier. How do you parse out whether or not Christian McCaffrey is going to see any significant time on the field? Like, I think the best you can hope for this week is that the San Fran offense gets down to like the 10-yard line or inside the red zone, and they just hand it to him a million times, essentially.
Honestly, I mean, it is McCaffrey. You have to start him. I think he gets like 15 touches this week. I feel like, again, if you acquired Christian McCaffrey and paid that price, You almost have to give him as much as he can handle. You know, the playbook, yes, I understand he has to grasp it, but the guy went to Stanford. He's not an idiot. Like, I'm pretty sure he'll figure it out. But in a race, here's, like, this goes beyond even the acquisition. The San Francisco 49ers need to win a football game. Like, they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and when we look at how tight the NFC is across the board, forget just the NFC West, the NFC. So, do you know how many teams are above 500 in the NFC?
I bet not a lot.
It's 4.
Really?
And 3 of them are in the NFC East.
Who's the other one?
So, the Eagles are 6-0, the Giants are 5-1, the Cowboys are 4-2, the right. Vikings are 5-1. In the NFC South and the NFC West, there is not one team with a record above 500.
I guess the Bucks are 500 then. They must be.
They are, yes. Right, yeah. The Bucks are 500, the Falcons are 500, and then 3 teams in the NFC West, the Niners, the Rams, and the Seahawks are all 500. So they absolutely need to win. And that's why my thinking is he's getting double digit touches. I feel like they will have even if they simplify a few things for him on certain plays, because he's going to be, you know, let's say he's he's the number one read out of the backfield. I feel like there's going to be a lot of that today. So I think he's in line for double digit touches. And we talked about that, you know, earlier in this block, that those are high value touches in this offense. Whereas in Carolina, he probably had to work a little bit harder for those.
Oh boy. Yeah. You talk about like high value touches. I feel like every touch you get in Carolina, no matter who you are, it's like at the lowest possible value touch. I will say he looked, just from a fantasy perspective, the usage last week looked a little bit better. And is it a coincidence that it looked better with no Baker Mayfield? Probably not. But then if you're looking at the offense and the way Kyle Shanahan likes to use his running backs, I think that definitely bodes well for him. One last thing on this CMC trade, because it was easily the biggest trade for fantasy football purposes of the season. Let me ask you, who is the handcuff now? Because I've seen this conversation, oh my gosh, a lot, and I just can't decide. Is it Jeff Wilson Jr.? And I feel kind of bad for people who held on to Jeff Wilson Jr. Like, I have him in a couple of leagues, and I was kind of hoping, like, okay, I saw the news. I'm like, okay, well, there goes the value of Jeff Wilson Jr., but maybe I can still start him this week, and then, you know, maybe that's it, trade him to the CMC owner as a handcuff. Is it Eli Mitchell? He's still on IR. Looks like he'll probably still be out for a handful, maybe at least one more week, maybe 2 or 3. So I'm curious where you fall on the handcuff. Like, I still think for now, as long as Eli Wilson is on the, or Eli Mitchell, pardon me, is on the IR, it's got to be Jeff Wilson Jr. But once it comes back, it almost feels like there is no clear handcuff, essentially.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I was actually going to say it's probably a little bit of both. I have to, I have to think, though, that once Elijah Mitchell is healthy and gets the reps, that he's probably the guy. And I'm just going that based off of, you know, he was the starter before he got hurt. And Jeff Wilson has been essentially a career backup who has had, you know, he has his boom weeks as a starter when the incumbent goes down. But I still feel like it's going to be Elijah Mitchell when Jeff Wilson comes back. Like, I've dropped Jeff Wilson in a 14-team league because I still have Elijah Mitchell and I'm not weak at running back, but that's where I kind of think that it's going. It does feel like it's going to be a bit of a mess just because we've seen how Kyle Shanahan rotates his running backs, but Kyle Shanahan's never had Christian McCaffrey. So I would assume that we are in the 15 to 20 touch range for McCaffrey. And then, like, I don't know, three or four for whoever the backup is. So I think it's Elijah Mitchell once he's healthy. But for the time being, yeah, it's Jeff Wilson Jr.
I do think that, like, at the very least, how do I want to phrase this? Like, yeah, I think at least for me, like, as someone who owns CMC in a couple of leagues, I think I would rather have him start in my lineup and put up, like, single-digit points versus bench him on the off chance that he doesn't play a lot. You know what I mean? Like, because I suppose there 100%. Is a chance that he has, like, I don't know, only 5-6 touches because they don't want to risk it. And they're like, oh, he will play, but it's not going to be a lot. They give him the ball, like, 5 times inside the 10-yard line, and then that's it. And if that's the case and he doesn't score a TD and you end up, like, you leave today's game with San Francisco and he only gets you, like, 7 or 8 points or anything less than that, I think I would still rather start him just because it feels like he is such a talent. I mean, it goes back to the conversation you have about CMC basically every year, right? It's just like he is so talented that it just feels like if you're not starting him, what's the point of even having him, right? Like, remember last year when he basically came back for one game after getting injured and just banged out, like, 28 fantasy points and then went back on the bench because he had the leg injury or what have you for the rest of the season, the nagging leg injury. So that's just the kind of player CMC is. He's a home run threat at any time. So I think you just start sit-wise, basically have to get him in your lineup. Let's look at some other major stories as well. I've basically three other ones I wanted to get to in this first segment with you. And this one actually came out, I think it either came out last night or very early this morning, but it was from Ian Rapoport again. And the report basically saying that Isaiah Pacheco is going to be getting, Kansas City running back Isaiah Pacheco is going to be getting starting reps, or has gotten starting reps with the first team offense all week, and he's going to be starting today over running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I mean, this is a guy we talked about kind of just stashing, taking a flyer on. Is this the kind of person you want to stash on your bench? And I'm a little wary of this situation, because even when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was running back one in Kansas City, Matt, the thing with him was that how I want to phrase this? Like, he put up RB1 numbers in, like, half his games so far this season. Having said that, I don't know that I would classify Clyde Edwards-Helaire as an RB1, if that makes sense. Even if he was putting up RB1 numbers, because he was still only touching the ball like 10 to 15 times a game, and most of those touches that actually got him fantasy points were through the air and not through, like, a traditional usage of a running back. Maybe that changes with Isaiah Pacheco. He's a different kind of runner. He has some draft capital behind him to a degree, not any more than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, pardon me, who was drafted in the first round. But still, I'm curious, like, would you risk starting Pacheco solely with the information that he got first team reps all week and is starting today?
I think you have to pick him up. I think that's a no-brainer, because if he does end up, you know, what if he turns out to be like Kareem Hunt was in that offense? And I'm not saying that he will be, but nobody thought Kareem Hunt was going to be Kareem Hunt in that Kansas City offense either. How about this for a scenario? You talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and his usage in the passing game. So the most rushes that Clyde Edwards-Helaire had all year was 19. He did that once against Tampa Bay. After that, the most he had was 9, and he did that twice. And he has had 3 or more catches in 5 of 7 games. So is Clyde Edwards-Helaire more valuable if he takes over the Jerick McKinnon role? Because that, because if he's already getting a minimum of three receptions in PPR leagues, you could make the argument that, and you want him to get the volume. But let's face it, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had two games where he had over 70 rushing yards, and one of them took 19 carries to do it.
Yeah.
Right? The other games he had 42, he had a zero. He had seven rushes for 0 yards against Indy and had a touchdown. That was the most incredible line ever. And then he had 15 and 33. So he's not adding that much to your fantasy lineup as, you know, the quote-unquote lead back. But if they have him in the Jerick McKinnon role where he gets, you know, 2-3 rushes, but he catches 5 balls a game, that's a totally different thing that we're talking about here in half PPR and PPR formats. So you could make the argument that he might even, I still think he's better suited in that pass catching type role, that if he goes to that role as solely the guy who is going to catch passes out of a Kansas City backfield, plus he's going to have, you know, 3, maybe 4 rushes a game. We're talking about high value touches. Those are higher value touches in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I it's funny because I drafted him in maybe like 3 or 4 of my leagues. And at this point, I was like, he's never going to see the field. So I dropped him in basically every league. A lot of these leagues have really short benches, so you have to make these kind of decisions on a relatively frequent basis. But I thought to myself, he's never going to play. And then I'm coming in this morning. I was getting ready to go. I'm going to my car, and I open my phone. I'm like, I wonder what are we going to get to in the first segment this morning? And I refresh it, and it says, Zay Pacheco to get first-team reps. And I'm like, crap. And I ran to the waiver wire in basically every league, and newsflash, he has already been snapped up. So there you go. So I guess people have been kind of waiting for the Isaiah Pacheco breakout, let's call it. And maybe it happens today. Like, maybe that is something that we'll see later on this afternoon. But, I mean, again, he was one of those popular sleeper/riser picks, which I think is always kind of fun if to see it kind of come to fruition. Like Garrett Wilson and Romeo Dubs were kind of in that same category. So maybe if he gets you anywhere, any kind of points whatsoever, I think you have to at least roster him. A couple more here for you, then we'll hit a quick break and we'll get to the start sits. And don't forget, you can also text us your fantasy football start sit questions at 590-590. Name and location, please. We'll get to all of those or as many of them as we can at the top of the next hour. If we don't get to any of your questions on the air, we will do. Matt and I will hop on a call and we will answer all of your questions off the air before the game start later today at 1 p.m. Eastern. So again, 590-590, name and locations where you can text us. This was from last night, or I guess it was kind of like pseudo expected after last week with the knee tightness for Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins, Matt, but he has been put on the IR, so he has to miss at least 4 weeks. It certainly seems like he will miss more than 4 weeks. He had the arthroscopic knee surgery on that knee that he tore the ACL, PCL, etc. So at least 4 to 6 weeks. People are saying likely return in weeks 12 to 14. Gus Edwards, Gus the Bus, has been activated off the physically unable to perform the PUP list. So, you know, Kenny and Drake showed out pretty well in a couple, I guess it was last week. But, I mean, you and I talk about this, it feels like virtually every single week, and we're going to probably do this until the heat death of the universe, it would seem. But the running back one in Baltimore is not Gus Edwards. It is not Kenny and Drake. It's not J.K. Dobbins. It is Lamar Jackson. So if you take out all of the rushes from the Baltimore offense that are done by Lamar Jackson himself, it just doesn't leave a lot of production for the other not Lamar Jackson guys. So it just feels like picking between Kenny and Drake and Gus Edwards. I don't know if you watch House of the Dragon. It very much feels like you're picking between Team Green and Team Black. Also, the season finale is tonight, so no one spoil me after today, please.
So here's how I kind of – I don't disagree with you in that – you know, like Lamar Jackson has 56 rushing attempts. The next closest guy was Dobbins at 35. But Dobbins was averaging 3.5 yards per carry. It wasn't pretty. And what I will say is this. As it pertains to a guy like Gus Edwards, he has familiarity with this offense. Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator, says they were excited to get him back. And I know we love coach speak, but Gus Edwards, I believe, is one of maybe two, or he might be the only player. I think it's one of two players in NFL history who, to start his career, had 700 plus rushing yards at an over 5 yards per carry clip. So clearly there's an ability here. Does Lamar Jackson have all these rushing attempts because J.K. Dobbins wasn't up to snuff, because they had to run Kenyon Drake and Justin Hill and Mike Davis? So maybe, just maybe, Gus Edwards is the guy that kind of takes those rushing attempts away from Lamar Jackson because they want to keep Lamar upright. I think that is part of the conversation. I do believe that it is still a muddy backfield. I don't disagree with that at all. But I do think that of this, you know, quote unquote committee, Gus Edwards is probably your best bet. I don't know if he's your best bet this week, just coming off the injury, whatever. They usually like to, you know, work guys in slowly. The other thing is I believe he tore his ACL a week after J.K. Dobbins did.
I think you're right.
And Dobbins came back quicker. So was Gus Edwards' injury worse? If it was just the ACL, it wasn't. And as we're led to believe that it was just the ACL. Did he take maybe the necessary time to get back healthy so that he can, quote unquote, hit the ground running? And did J.K. Dobbins come back too quickly? So there's a lot of questions for this week. But we talked about it on the waiver wire pod. With J.K. Dobbins going down, Gus Edwards coming back, I think that Gus Edwards is the running back to roster in Baltimore. And Kenyon Drake is probably, you know, the handcuff there. I think the Ravens want to run the ball a little bit more than they have, and it's not Lamar Jackson. It's going to be the running backs. Because let's face it, they haven't had as much success through the air as they probably would have liked to. Some of that is because Rashad Bateman has been hurt. Like, Lamar's completing a shade under 62% of his passes.
Yeah.
And he's averaging 7.1 yards per completion. 212 yards per game. This hasn't gone as swimmingly as they thought it was. 13 touchdown passes to 6 interceptions in 6 games. So I do think that they are going to change it up a little bit. I believe that Gus Edwards is the guy that's going to end up getting the bulk of the carries in that Baltimore offense aside from Lamar Jackson.
I guess Gus Edwards would be Team Green. I think he's Team Green as far as House of the... Do you watch House of the Dragon at all?
I don't. I still have to watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, really? Oh,
here's,
my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, here's the thing. Oh, my wife does not like shows like that.
Okay.
So I have to find time on... It's one of those shows I have to find time on my own. Okay. Much like I'm watching the Jeffrey Dahmer story right now, and she refuses to watch it. So I have to find time when my wife is doing something else and my daughter's sleeping, which is very rare that both of those things are happening at the same time. So yeah, it is on my list. Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon is absolutely on my list.
I'm just going to say, I know Game of Thrones ended on a less than auspicious note. House of the Dragon, I'm all the way back in. All the way back in on the HBO drama. Let's go one more, and then we'll take a quick break and get to the start sits. Actually, our first start sit is Browns at Ravens, and we just did like most of the conversation for the Ravens when it comes to the Ravens running backs. But I want to get to this one quickly before we get to the start sits. Commanders QB Carson Wentz is on injured reserve with that fractured finger. He is out at least 4 games. So no revenge games for old Carson. He was scheduled, I believe, in those four game stretch. He was scheduled to play, I think, the Colts and the Eagles. And now he will miss both games. So no revenge for Carson on IR. At least 4 games he will be out, which I imagine means Taylor Heinicke gets the backup start. Taylor Heinicke actually has been fantasy relevant. I dare say it's probably better for Scary Terry, and we'll have to see what his rapport is with Jahan Dotson, because Dotson's a rookie, obviously, but he obviously has a rapport with Scary Terry. I am curious to see what the running back situation for Washington looks like with Taylor Heinicke, because Heinicke also has some wheels, and we know he likes to take off and run, like maybe not a lot, but he has done it a couple of times. So I'm curious to see what the fallout will be on the Washington offense, because there haven't been, especially in the last, 3 weeks, there haven't been a lot of consistency fantasy-wise from this offense.
No, and I agree with you. The first thing that came to mind was, Terry McLaurin's going to be relevant again. That's awesome. I do think the situation there is kind of a mess. I agree. I think Taylor Heinicke gives this team a better chance to win. My only thing with this move is this is why bad teams and bad organizations stay bad. Why is Heinicke starting this game with Washington being 2-4? There's three teams ahead of them, and the closest team is Dallas, who has two more wins in the six games. Why is Sam Howell not starting this game? Like, how long is the leash here for Heinicke? Right. Because, frankly, give the kid the reps. Let him get in there, because your season at 2-4 with the division as strong as it is right now, and I get it, the rest of, you know, they think they can get into a wild card. Like, I don't think that Tampa Bay is going to be 500 by the time the season ends, nor do I think that the Niners are going to be 500 by the time the season ends. So your season is essentially over at 2-4 right now. Why is Sam Howell not getting reps right now? Like, maybe it's a 2 or 3 week thing for Heinicke. They lose 2 or 3 games and then Sam Howell gets the reps. But at this point, are you trying to just claw your way into the playoffs? Because if you're a realist and you look at that Washington roster, they're not good enough. So I think that's a little bit disappointing. But you're right. Heinicke has been at least mildly relevant, and he does offer a different skill set than Carson Wentz does. I just think that whole Washington situation on offense is just it's ever since week 3, basically, it's been an absolute mess. Don't know who to start every week. And now you've added, you know, Brian Robinson to the mix with Gibson and McKissick.
Yeah.
It's a disaster. It's a backfield that you probably want to stay away from. But the funniest part of all of this is the guy who looked the best was the guy that they were going to have returning punts, which was Antonio Gibson.
Yeah. Can't
so it, to me, it didn't make a ton of sense, but I still think if you look at that backfield, like, Antonio Gibson's the most talented guy there.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's probably still the case, which is because, again, we talked about CMC for a whole chunk of time earlier today. And it's just like, it wasn't that long ago that Rivera was saying, oh, Antonio Gibson's like CMC. We plan on using him like Christian McCaffrey. Like I did in Carolina. It's like, okay, well, if that wasn't the biggest case of coach speak we've ever heard, then I don't know what was. Okay, let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, we'll do all of our start sits. We have Browns, Ravens coming up, Bucks, Panthers. We'll take a quick look at the Thursday night game between the Saints and the Cards as well. A very brief look, because that game was, what a weird game. The Saints are such a strange team. They're like an odd team to try and parse out. And I know injuries are a big part of it. And the Cards got DeAndre Hopkins back. So we'll take a look at all of those things. Start sit straight ahead. Still your text to come at 590, 590 at the top of the hour. Leave your name and location for the People's text line. We will answer all of your questions before the 1 p.m. kickoff goes later this afternoon. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show. Start sit straight ahead. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Week 7 in the NFL is here. Continues after the Thursday night game between the Saints and Cards. We'll do all of your injury news and notes, start sits for every game, and of course your text on the People's text line at 590-590. Name and location, please. We'll answer your text at the top of the hour. So still lots of time to shoot us a fantasy football start sit question again at 590-590. I just want to say, Matt, we'll do the Thursday night in a sec, but I see a text here from Robert in Kelowna, BC. It is 5:30 in the morning in British Columbia. So, Robert, good for you. Good for you, man. Thanks for being up. Thanks for being awake. I am not a natural morning person. I wake up early every Sunday just for the fantasy show, Marchese. So that Robert is up at 5:30 in the morning Western time. I think that's very impressive.
Yeah, it is. I've 5:30 and me have never gotten along very well as well. I know you're a late night guy, right?
Exactly.
Like you're up really late. I used to be like that. I used to be like, yeah, go to bed at 2-3 in the morning, watch the West Coast hockey games, whatever. And now that does not happen because 5:30 came around real fast this morning. In the Marchese household. But yeah, no, kudos to anybody that's getting up at that time and listening to us. We greatly appreciate it.
We really do, honestly. We very, very much appreciate it. I see Kevin in Vancouver as well. So you boys who are up with us on the West Coast, we very, very much appreciate it. Calgary as well. I know we have a lot of listeners kind of from coast to coast to coast. So yeah, send us your text messages at 590-590. We will answer all of those in about half an hour. Real quick, Matt, anything crazy stand out to you from Saints cards on Thursday night? Like, Andy Dalton had a pretty good, despite an interception that was returned for a touchdown, he actually had a pretty good fantasy outing, all things considered. 361 yards, four touchdowns. He did have the three picks, but still not a bad outing. Taysom Hill did get a TD down near the goal line, so the Taysom Hill experience continues as usual. But Chris Olave, seven catches, 106 yards. So I guess the fantasy relevant players remain relevant, although Alvin Kamara, you know, again, he had about, I guess, about 15 points or maybe just a little under that. He had 11 carries for 49 yards. He also had seven catches for 56 yards. So no, like an okay outing for Alvin Kamara, even though you might want a teensy bit more. But considering the state of the offense, I'm not going to complain too much.
I would love to know what he did wrong to not get any carries near the goal line. I want to know who he spoke to poorly, because that makes zero sense. You know what was the biggest standout to me? How DeAndre Hopkins comes back and then everybody else in that Cardinals offense is forgotten. Whew. He had 14 targets in his return, 10 catches, 103 yards. We talked about the loss of Hollywood Brown. And how, you know, I thought Rondale Moore was going to soak up some of those targets. Rondale Moore had one catch for 31
yards. Matt, look real quick. DeAndre Hopkins at the end of the day had 10 catches. Literally every other player that caught a pass in this game, a player, not just pass catcher, but Rondale Moore, Keontae Ingram, Eno Benjamin, Zach Ertz, Greg Dortch, and Robbie Anderson. Okay, those six other pass catchers caught 10 combined passes. DeAndre Hopkins by himself at 10 catches. Like, I don't know if that's just them trying to work him back into the game plan, but like, that is insane.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, those were like Hollywood Brown was getting, you know, double digit targets in a lot of games. So he soaked up basically every single one of those targets. Clearly, he wasn't used the same way as he used to. Like, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't create separation as much as he used to. He's not a burner, but he found himself open a lot in the Thursday nighter against the Saints. And the offense, they didn't need to throw the ball a ton. I mean, it was a shootout, but it felt like by the time the second quarter rolled around that game was almost in the bag already. So, yeah, basically whoever you thought was going to be fantasy relevant was fantasy relevant. Juwan Johnson had the two touchdowns, which had to have burned a lot of people. Just because, like, you're expecting, you know, maybe Kamara gets those. Nah. Juwan Johnson, he's your guy. Because he started over Adam Troutman, who now, I don't know how you can start Adam Troutman after that game, but I digress. NFL coaches are weird.
And Rashid Shaheed caught another touchdown. I think it's the second week with a touchdown. And one catch for a 53-yard touchdown. That was it for Shaheed. So I don't think anyone's rushing to the waiver wire to pick him up. And at the very least, Taysom Hill remains rosterable at the very least. Like, no one's dropping Taysom Hill. He had three carries for 9 yards, and then he had the one catch for 3 yards and a touchdown. So I think you're at least keeping Taysom Hill on the roster. And yeah, like you said, the two TDs for tight end Juwan Johnson. He had five catches for 32 yards and the one TD. But that's just a quick check of the Saints and cards. Okay, let's get to our start sits. We'll rumble through a couple of these, and then we'll get to the text line, the people's text line at the top of the hour. Browns at Ravens. We've already done, I think we've done like basically 90% of the Ravens side of this, because we talked about J.K. Dobbins going on injured reserve. Gus Edwards and Kenyon Drake likely to split carries today. You're still obviously starting Lamar Jackson. You don't need us to tell you that. You're still starting Mark Andrews. So that essentially does it for the Ravens. But on the Brown side of things, Matt, I mean, it's also a pretty short conversation, because you're starting Nick Chubb literally every week. Like, even if it is, he's going to end up with a low rushing total like he did last week against the Patriots. I mean, that game was a blowout. Jacoby Brissett threw 45 times, 21 completions, 266 yards, a touchdown and two interceptions against the Patriots. So I bet that doesn't continue. Look, they're just not going to let Jacoby Brissett throw 45 times again, which obviously plays into starting either Chubb or Kareem Hunt, who I think is an RB2 this week. But it does probably affect to a degree how confidently you want to start Amari Cooper or perhaps David Njoku. I think if you're asking me who I feel more confident about, probably David Njoku, because Amari Cooper saw 12 targets last week, but I'm not sure he's going to see 12 targets again today.
Well, the only saving grace for Amari Cooper is that Baltimore's giving up the fifth most points per game to wide receivers. Like, they just, their secondary just hasn't been good. I'm starting Njoku every week just because he seems to ball out every week. Like, he's been a really nice addition to your fantasy lineups after being almost fantasy irrelevant for the past couple of seasons. The key stat for me in this one, Baltimore has allowed 27 catches to running backs in six games. That's 4.5 per game. That, to me, bodes well for Kareem Hunt, who is, you know, we talked about it. He was almost unstartable last week, and we said that going in. Look at what New England did to Nick Chubb. I mean, I don't see that happening again. So I think you're right. Kareem Hunt probably in the back end RB2 conversation in PPR and half PPR formats. And just one quick thing on the Ravens. It looks like Rashad Bateman is going to play. And Lamar Jackson's numbers this season when Rashad Bateman has played, especially against the Blitz, have been vastly improved. Cleveland just gave up over 300 passing yards to Bailey Zappi. I feel like this is a big Lamar bounce back today. And I think it will be with Rashad Bateman in the lineup. And if he is in the lineup, I'm starting him.
I was just thinking, you said the numbers against the Blitz, and all I could think of was, as long as Lamar Jackson has a semi-talented body with a pulse to throw to, I feel like he will probably have better numbers than otherwise, right? Like, this is a guy who will probably, just because of how talented he is, just generally speaking, probably be a perennial MVP candidate as long as he is healthy. And they have done, I mean, I don't mean to like crap on the Ravens management, but they just haven't done not a great job surrounding him with pass catchers, it feels like, right? So I know they're trying their best with Bateman, for example. I still think he's a talented guy, just some injuries and the way the offense works right now, it doesn't not super conducive to passing volume, let's say. But Rashad Bateman, if he plays, it can only be a good thing for anyone, but certainly for Lamar Jackson. Let's get to our next start sit, Matt. Bucks at Panthers. And boy, that what a letdown that Brady start was last week, eh? Against the Steelers. I thought to myself,
Oh my God.
We said to so many people on the text line, and I started Brady myself, and I thought to myself, oh yeah, Brady against the Steelers that are missing like literally every starting DB, is missing all these different guys, and Brady's gonna shred the Steelers. He's historically good, and he just was like, I don't know, pretty middling, right? It was, and then they lost outright to the Steelers. It just wasn't great. I guess he's averaging 275 passing yards per game, at least one touchdown in every game this season. But I mean, it just feels like not, are we talking about like high value touches for running backs and receivers? I know you can't really say that for quarterbacks, but it just feels like, especially what we saw last week, that the Tom Brady experience has been, if it's a roller coaster, it's a roller coaster that's like going a little slower this year.
Yeah, and could you imagine if another quarterback not named Tom Brady yelled at his offensive Ooh. Line like he did Ooh. Last week? I don't even know where the trust is with Brady. Like, you know, he's 15 yards, but the only 8 touchdown passes on the year. I know he's only thrown one interception, but like this was an offense that prided itself on throwing the ball a ton. And Tom Brady throwing like, you know, 2-3 touchdowns a game. That's just not happening. Like Mike Evans, when you look at the points per game, he was suspended. So Mike Evans is wide receiver 13 in points per game. Chris Godwin is wide receiver 40 in points per game. And again, I know he came off the injury. I know he had the injury. He came back and then he was a little bit banged up. Here's the saving grace. Carolina right now is in shutdown mode. And they've already given up the 10th most points per game to opposing wide receivers. And J.C. Horn might not be playing this week. So, I mean, this if there was a breakout game for the Bucs offense, and specifically Tom Brady, I'm not going to say it because it was supposed to be last
week. I was going to say, right.
I'm not saying it because it was supposed to be last week where they literally had like guys who were working at, well, not literally, but guys working at like grocery stores. They're like, hey, you busy this Sunday? Yeah, we could use a corner. Game time is 1:00. We need you at the stadium about 3 hours before and we'll have a jersey ready for you. That's what it kind of felt like they were playing against, and they stunk. So it's a divisional game. It's a big, I mean, the Panthers stink, but it is still a big game for the Bucks. I feel like they're going to get their bleep in order this week.
It's almost like, you know, you ever seen that movie with Keanu Reeves, The Replacements? You remember that movie with Shane
Falco? Oh, my God. It's one of my favorites. I pull lines from there all the time.
It feels like what the Steelers defense was last week was like an episode. It would be like a TV show version of The Replacements. If they ever turned it into a TV show, that's what it would be like. It would be all the new guys in the locker room coming in, like you know, like the sumo wrestler offensive lineman, and yeah, the various guys. I don't know, the Reezy Fonz, like a football player who becomes like the American football player, right? It's just, I don't know. I love that movie. That's basically what it was last week for the Steelers, and they won. They actually won. So anyway, for this week, you're still starting Leonard Fournette, you're still starting Brady, you're still starting Mike Evans, and I just think that if J.C. Horn plays, and I think we monitor that, you're not benching Mike Evans if J.C. Horn plays or not, because Mike Evans is Mike Evans. But having said that, if he plays, I think you temper your expectations with the rest of your lineup, perhaps. On the Panther side of things, no more Christian McCaffrey means that, is this like a short conversation? Like, is it really just DJ Moore at this point and no one else? I don't know if, I think at this, until we actually see what the offense looks like, I know people think it's Deontay Foreman, and it's definitely possible that's who it is in terms of the guy who gets the most touches as the de facto RB1 in this offense, Matt. But I mean, until we actually see this game played, I don't know. It's kind of, you're kind of guessing at this point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a 55-45 split.
Yeah.
I think it's Foreman who gets the first crack at it, because Chuba Hubbard had the opportunity last year and he didn't necessarily run away with it. But there's an opportunity here for him to kind of take the reins, especially because we know Christian McCaffrey's not coming back. Here's what I had written on my notes.
All right.
Do not start anyone other than Christian McCaffrey if PJ Walker is starting. That was verbatim what I wrote down. So Christian McCaffrey's not there anymore. I'm not starting anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I think PJ Walker threw 10 passes behind the line of scrimmage of the, I think it was 18 that he threw, or something like that. Like, that's just not a recipe for success. Like, your season's over, let the man sling it. Like, let him do something. I know the offensive line's not great. It's just barely okay. But, like, free DJ Moore, please. Can we start that hashtag? Hashtag free DJ Moore. Because now they're talking that they're not even going to trade him.
I saw that.
They already turned down 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns, which I'm very surprised at. But Brian Burns is a good player, so I get it. But, I mean, if I were a team and I see that this has gone the way it has for the Carolina Panthers, I'm absolutely picking up the phone and trying to trade for DJ Moore. Because get this man a quarterback, please. So I can't trust him. I mean, it is one. It's that weird bye week where you have 4 teams that have really, really, really good offensive weapons on them, multiple in these offenses. I think if you have to start DJ Moore, he's no more than a flex play, and even that is a bit of a prayer.
Maybe we can get Aaron Rodgers to start some kind of maybe if Aaron Rodgers tweets out hashtag free DJ Moore, maybe we'll get Moore to Green Bay. Maybe. What do you think?
Yes, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful, because God knows he needs a wide receiver as well.
He does. He really does. It's not a knock against Alan Lazard and Romeo Dubs. It's just that, you know, he clearly, I just, you know, that meme with Wolverine, like in his bed, and he's like, oh, like he's like, and he's like, yeah, catching the picture. That's like, yeah. Aaron Rodgers does that to a picture of Davante Adams literally every week, like every night. He's like, oh, please come back, Davante. That's how bad the Green Bay offense has been. Let's roll through a couple more of these start sits before we hit a quick break here in a couple minutes. Falcons at Bengals. Marcus Mariota, QB2. Tyler Allgeier and Caleb Huntley. Again, it's kind of been like we talked about. Like, just the run game with these two guys without Cordero Patterson has just not looked super inspiring. So if that's the case, I guess if you're really in a pinch, I guess Allgeier is the lowest of end flex plays. But when it comes to the Falcons, I mean, the conversation kind of starts and ends with Kyle Pitts and maybe Drake London, at this point, but they're just not making the passing game a priority. And as long as that's the case, you can never feel too confident in any of these pass catching options.
No, you can't. And we thought, you know, I figure going into the game against the Niners, who have been really good against the run, like, we're going to see a bunch of, you know, Mariota having to throw the ball. Atlanta ran the ball 41 times against one of the best defenses in the league. And here's the thing. It actually worked. So I look at it and say, okay, Huntley had 16 carries. Allgaier had 15 carries. So in a pinch, they're just volume-based flex plays, but there's nothing that you get excited about. Like, I'm looking at it going, oh, if it was like in any other offense where I see 15 and 16 carries, I'm like, okay, sign me up. The Atlanta offense? No chance. And those guys just don't offer much for me in terms of like excitement of how good they are. So, yeah, volume-based flex plays. Kyle Pitts, I mean, you have to start him. You don't have a choice at this point because it's the same conversation that we've kind of had with other players. Like, if he's out of your lineup, that's going to be the week that he produces. I know he had the touchdown last week, but he only had three catches. And Drake London has just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth because this passing offense is basically non-existent. So he's probably a touchdown-dependent flex play. Kyle Pitts, and I hate to say this, is probably a touchdown-dependent tight end play this week. I started Taysom Hill, and I'm starting Kyle Pitts in a flex in our work league. So there's where I'm at with Kyle Pitts and the bye weeks this week.
Yeah, in another league, I started Taysom Hill in my tight end spot, and then I started David Njoku in my my flex spot. That's where I'm at with no Diggs, no Stephon Diggs means I'm forced to start. It's a three wide receiver league, so you have to start at least three wide receivers. So I with no Diggs this week, I got to start. I'm locked into starting like Juju, and I don't feel good about it. So I guess David Njoku is getting in there. On the Bengals side of things, real quick, I mean, you're starting Burrow, you're starting Mixon, you're starting Ja'Marr Chase literally every single week. So beyond those three, I think the next part of this conversation kind of goes to T. Higgins. And almost, I think like we can start talking about Hayden Hurst at this point, right? He's probably like a low-end TE1, high-end TE2. Again, we talk about it every week. We just talked about it with Kyle Pitts and David Njoku and so on. Like, it's a kind of a wasteland for tight ends, so as it always is. So if you can get any sort of targets, relatively speaking, semi-reliable targets out of your tight end, you can probably start that guy. Hayden Hurst is probably one of those guys. Again, low-end TE1. But T. Higgins, I know he burned everyone a couple of weeks ago when he was active but didn't play with like the ankle injury after playing like 10 snaps or whatever. But he looks like he was okay last week. He looks like he's a full go this week. And Atlanta's defense, not great. It's not great, right? So Ja'Marr Chase, you would imagine, is going to get his. But T. Higgins, if he's healthy and he looks like to be a full go, then you can feel confident starting him to maybe WR2 numbers.
So if we take away that game where he just didn't play, where he only had the 10 snaps and was basically a decoy,
right?
T. Higgins has 7 or more targets in 4 of 5 games. So the volume is there. It's just whether or not Joe Burrow can actually throw him the ball. Last week, he had 6 catches for 47 yards. He did it on 9 targets. Like, the target share is there. That's certainly not the concern. It's which Joe Burrow shows up. And you would hope that in a game against Atlanta, whose defense is, you know, probably maybe middle of the pack, but probably a little bit worse, I'm going to start T. Higgins comfortably in that wide receiver 3 spot with heavy, heavy upside. Ja'Marr Chase had the breakout last week, which we were talking about. We said they're got to get him going. He goes off for 7 catches, 132 and 2 touchdowns. Tyler Boyd is the interesting one here. He has at least 5 targets in 4 of 6 games, but he's just a touchdown dependent guy. We're in a situation where it could be a good matchup here for Tyler Boyd, especially considering that, you know, guys like Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and Cooper Kupp and Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and like go down the list of all the guys that are out this week because of the bye. He could be a flex start for you. I know I'm starting him in a couple leagues just because there is the potential for this game to be a little bit high scoring from the Cincinnati side of things. So I'm going to take my shot there.
Let's do one more start, Sid, before we hit a quick break here, Matt. Let's do Lions at Cowboys, because there was some news about this last night and this morning when it comes to who is going to be available for the Lions. And certainly the Lions were on their bye last week. So, you know, you would expect a bounce back for the Lions, because before the bye week, they had an abysmal game against the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff had what, like 5 points against the Patriots. He was bad. But this week against the Cowboys, I don't know that it's the greatest sets of plays because the Cowboys defense is pretty lethal. So I think everyone in this offense to me does get a bit of a downgrade, but I mean, you can still start Jared Goff in a super flex league as a, maybe a lower end QB2. You can still start Jamal Williams because this was from Jeremy Fowler last night. Lions running back DeAndre Swift, questionable with that ankle slash shoulder injury, is not expected to play Sunday versus the Cowboys, barring a surprise. Per source, appears to need another week to fully heal. So plan as though you do not have DeAndre Swift in your lineup tonight, which means that Jamal Williams obviously gets a big boost. Craig Reynolds then becomes the, I would guess, the handcuff in case there is some kind of injury to Williams himself. And DJ Chark has been put on the IR, so he's out. He's done. Amon-Ra St. Brown, as usual, I think you can consider him a lower-end WR1, even if he does see a healthy dose of Diggs and some of these other guys. But I do think with no DJ Chark, that boosts Josh Reynolds into, you know, a lower-end WR2 category. What do you think?
Yeah, I got him more like in the wide receiver 3 category, but at that time we're kind of we're splitting hairs there. But that's where I have it. My only concern with this game is that Jared Goff's not good against a good pass rush. And we know that Dallas has a really good pass rush.
They do.
So against the blitz, it's a little bit of a problem. I think that bodes really well for Amon-Ra St. Brown. A lot of quick hitters. TJ Hawkinson, much of the same. Disappointed to not see DeAndre Swift. But, I mean, I have to start Jared Goff in a few leagues this week. So I'm hoping that he has figured out how to play against a good pass rush. But I'm not very optimistic in that.
And on the other side of things for the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott does look to make his second start of the season. The Detroit defense allows just under a smidge under 25 points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So, I mean, look, we all thought Dak was going to be a top 10 QB this year. And there's still a chance for him to be. There's still time, certainly. So Dak Prescott could very well still be a QB one in terms of when you just look at the year-end rankings. But again, to Detroit defense, I would expect maybe they're going to be a little conservative and run the ball with Zeke. But Zeke slash Tony Pollard, who I think respectively are like an mid RB2 flex play for me for Zeke and Pollard specifically. But Dak Prescott, you can still fire him up in there against a pretty bad Detroit defense. It does obviously give boosts to CeeDee Lamb, and maybe we see Dalton Schultz actually get off the schneid here after Cooper Rush basically ignored the fact that he existed for like essentially a month. I think it bodes well for Dalton Schultz, I would guess.
Yeah, the rapport with Dak is the key there, right? And I mean, we're going to see what happens with Michael Gallup, who he's slowly gotten integrated into the offense. I think there's a little bit. I think that basically you can start any of the five guys that we met. Five? No, six. Because I think that it's going to be one of those games for the Dallas offense. The Lions defense just absolutely stinks. I think that you have Zeke as a volume-based RB2 because there's lots of upside, especially for touchdowns. Tony Pollard is in that same conversation, more in the flex. And then Dalton Schultz, I mean, would you be surprised if Dalton Schultz had a top 5 week this week for tight ends? I mean, coming off the injury, I get it, but Detroit's just so horrible. They're so horrible. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Give me any one of those 6 starters for the Dallas Cowboys, and I can't believe I just said 6.
I know, it's pretty crazy, right? You know what's funny? While you were talking about that, I'm like, man, I wonder who I'm going to start in my league where I have a couple of these Cowboys, and I'm just looking at my list right now. In this one league, I have Dalton Schultz, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Gallup, and Dak Prescott. And so I'm very heavily invested in that. That's why I might be the most invested in one offense I've been maybe ever, like maybe literally ever. So I'm starting someone. I don't know who. Probably I'm gonna pass on Gallup this week in favor of maybe Prescott and Schultz, but yeah, I think like I'm not super confident in Noah Brown to get you a lot of consistent fantasy points anyways, but especially with Dak Prescott back, that is the proverbial rising tide that lifts all boats when it comes to fantasy points down in the Lone Star State. But that does it for that. Start Sid. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your text line questions on the People's Text Line at 590-590. Name and location. I see a whole bunch here. We'll get to them all. And if we don't get to all of them on the air, we will get to all of them before the 1 p.m. kickoff goes. Matt and I will hop on a phone call and we will answer all of your text line questions. So the People's Text Line, straight ahead on the Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you. Week 7 in the NFL continues today across the league. Of course, Thursday Night Football is in the books. We got a ton of action today. We're here for your injury starts, sits, your news and notes, and of course, the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location. Matt, ready to do some texts?
Let's go.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, you guys know the drill. 590-590, name and location. If we don't get to your texts on the air, we will answer all of them off the air. All of them. Matt and I usually just hop on a phone call after the show is done. We answer a bunch of them, and you can still text in as many as you want. We'll just get to all of them before 1 p.m. Eastern when kickoff goes later this afternoon. Okay, our first one here, Juan from Richmond Hill. Thanks for all your analysis and help during the season, guys. Two questions. At quarterback, Matt Ryan, Trevor Lawrence, or Daniel Jones? Boy, I wish I could say Matt Ryan. Matt, but I don't know, man. I don't know if I feel super confident in ever recommending Matt Ryan to someone at this point.
No, and believe it or not, Sho, of these, I actually think that I'm going to go with Daniel Jones.
Ooh, all right.
The rushing floor is there, so he's going to get you, you know, near 5 points just on rushing yards alone. And he threw a couple touchdowns last week. I think he's becoming comfortable in the offense. And the Jags just gave up a ton of points to Indy. Like, Matt Ryan had a marvelous day last week when those two teams played against each other. So Jags showed that they're a little bit vulnerable on defense. I'm going to go with Daniel Jones here because I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to have a tough time against the Giants defense. And Matt Ryan's going up against the Titans, and it's a divisional game, and who the hell knows what's going to happen there.
Oh, yeah. You could either get a shutout win for either team or, like, 68 combined points in that one. Like, you know, you don't really know because these, especially in the AFC South this year, it's pretty wacky. Juan's other question was he needs two wide receivers and a flex between – this is a half-point PPR league. So in two wide receivers and a flex between Lazard – Keenan Allen, if he plays, Christian Kirk, Robert Woods, George Pickens, and Raheem Mostert. So it's important to note, this is from Adam Schefter last night, because we haven't gotten to the Chargers stuff yet, but this is from Adam Schefter around midnight. Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen, he is listed as questionable due to a hamstring injury. Wants to see how he feels Sunday before making a final decision, per source. The Chargers know their bye is next week, and resting Allen now would give his hammy 2 more weeks to heal and be ready after the bye, which to me suggests that he probably just won't play this week. I think it's probably best to just operate under the assumption that Allen just is going to be on the bench for yet another week. And so if that's the case, you're basically picking for one here, Marchese, between Lazard, Kirk, Woods, Pickens, and Mostert for two wide receivers and a flex.
I like Lazard. He's been really good, and he seems to catch a touchdown every week with Aaron Rodgers. So I'll go with Lazard. Christian Kirk's just been such a dud.
Yeah,
like actually been really bad lately. I'm gonna go with George Pickens, and I'm gonna go with Mostert. Like, Mostert's been really good. He's getting a lot of work. I mean, it is a tougher matchup. This week, the Steelers' run defense is decent.
Okay,
but I'm gonna go with Mostert as the third option.
The flex. Okay, so Lazard, yeah. Pickens, Mostert.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one here. Tony from Hamilton, half PPR. Who should I start? Hayden Hurst, Cade Otton, Greg Dulcich, or Daniel Bellinger? Half PPR league. I mean, we talk about this a lot, but not the floor, the ceiling for all of these guys is not exactly super high. So if you get like 6 to 7 points out of any of these guys, that's a win. You take that and you run, I think.
I know everybody wanted to run to the wire to get Greg Dulcich, and I get it, but no Russ, like, even as bad as Russell Wilson's been, and he's not playing this week. I mean, Brett Rypien is not the answer at quarterback.
No.
I'm going to go with Daniel Bellinger this week. He's been integrated in the offense a little bit more, led the team in targets last week, and scored a touchdown for the Giants. I'm going to go with Daniel Bellinger.
So you're passing on the Dulcich de Leche here.
I am. It is a delicious Dulcich de Leche. I can't say that five times fast. I'm gonna go Bellinger here. Right. Ring the Bellinger.
There you go. Ring the Bellinger. My second question, Tony from Hamilton: Marcus Mariota or Jimmy G?
Ooh. I feel like I kind of lean Jimmy G, just because KC's defense has been known to give up points here, and they're going to use Christian McCaffrey a little bit. It'll take a little bit of the pressure off of Jimmy G. I just don't trust Marcus Mariota. I know he has a rushing floor, but I don't love it. So yeah, I'm going to go Jimmy G.
Mike from Toronto, 12-team non-PPR. Good morning, Show and Matt. Good morning, Mike. He says, Waller is injured and Tyler Higbee is on bye. So who do I start at tight end? Hunter Henry, Hayden Hurst, or Dalton Schultz? I go Schultz here for all the reasons we just outlined when we did the Lions and Cowboys. But I'm curious, are you gonna disagree with me and go Henry or Hurst, or are you going to stick with Schultz as well?
No, I'm going to go with Schultz just because I think that there's a higher value to that game against the Lions defense. And like we talked about with, you know, that game potentially being high scoring, Dak Prescott's back and he has a great relationship with Dalton Schultz on the field. Don't know what the relationship's like off the field, but I don't care because I'm going Dalton Schultz here.
Maybe it's like Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Like, did they have breakfast together? Did they lunch together? Maybe brunch, perhaps? I think they do. I bet they do. That's my guess.
They probably do.
I don't know if there are
any. Everybody likes a good brunch.
Everybody, it's true. You know what? I'll say this. Like, it's Sunday. And here in Toronto, at least, and I bet it's the same in Calgary and Vancouver, there is nothing Torontonians love more than lining up for brunch downtown on a Sunday morning. There's nothing. Nothing. I'm convinced. I've done it before myself.
It's a sickness.
Yeah, it's people love it. It's just, it'll never go away. Anyways, I'll get off the soapbox on that one. But we'll go Schultz. And Mike also wants to know, 2 of 3, Godwin, Pierce, or Wilson? I assume...
Yeah, we need initials here.
Yeah, I assume it is Damian Pierce and not Alec Pierce, although he does... Because the other two guys are Godwin and Wilson, maybe it is actually Alec Pierce, and they're all three of them are wide receivers. Because if it's Damian Pierce, you're starting Damian Pierce. Like, that's just how it is. But if it's Alec Pierce, then, you know, not so sure.
Well, I mean, I'm still starting Alec Pierce if it's over Garrett Wilson.
Right.
I'm going to go with, if it's Damian Pierce or Alec Pierce, I'm going with both of them over, I would assume it's Garrett Wilson.
I would assume it's Garrett Wilson as well. Okay, so no Garrett Wilson for this one. The passing volume for the Jets, I mean, like, they're 4-2 and they look pretty good, but the passing volume is just non-existent for anyone, really. I mean, you don't have to when Breece Hall has been as good as he's been, but still, that's just how it's been so far. Let's do one more, and then we'll go back to the start sits. And again, if we don't answer your questions here on the People's Text Line, we will answer all of them off the air at 590-590, name and location. This one's from Mark in Toronto, half PPR. Good morning, gents. I need 2 of 4. Tony Pollard, Raheem Mostert, Cortland Sutton, and Ramondre Stevenson. Thank you very much. So 2 of those 4, Pollard, Mostert, Sutton, Ramondre. Oh, Matt doesn't like that question.
Oh, I muted myself. I like Stevenson for sure. And we need 2, right?
2 of those guys. So 2 of Pollard,
ooh,
Mostert. So if you pick Stevenson, you have to pick 1 then of Pollard, Mostert, and Sutton. It's terrible to say I'm benching Sutton.
It's not Sutton.
Yeah, it's not Sutton.
Yeah. You know what? I think because of the potential in the game, I'm going to lean Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard? Okay. So Pollard, yeah, over Mostert.
Yeah, and the only reason why is I think Ramondre Stevenson has such a good floor in this conversation that you could take a little bit of a chance with Tony Pollard.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I'm starting Mostert myself in a couple of leagues, but I do agree that and Damian Harris is back, by the way. There's no injury designation for Damian Harris when it comes to the Patriots running backs. But even so, against an abysmal Chicago Bears team, I think you can still start both of those guys, I would say. And after what we saw last week from Ramondre Stevenson, you can probably feel pretty good about him playing this week. So Matt goes Stevenson and Pollard. Okay, let's take a quick break. from the start sits. Actually, you know what? I want to do one more. I'll take it back. I want to do one more because I mentioned these ones earlier in the show. I just wanted to give them a quick shout out again. This one's from Robert in Kelowna. And remember I said Robert got up pretty early for us. He says, I drift in and out of sleep while listening. Also, completely fair. That's totally valid considering how early it is on the West Coast. It's 9:15 here in Toronto, so it's 6:15 in Vancouver. And Kevin in Vancouver, I'm sure, is up early as well. So let's do their question since they got up early to text us, Matt.
Let's do it.
So Kevin in Vancouver was wondering who you think I should start in a full point PPR. I need two of these guys with a tough bye week. So I guess his three guys are Chubb. He says, I'm sure that's a no-brainer. And then Hunt or Melvin Gordon. So do you want to double up on the Browns running backs with Chubb and Hunt, or do you want to start Melvin Gordon over Kareem Hunt?
Well, I don't want to start Melvin Gordon just because there's a very good chance that he could end up sitting anyway. And it does feel like a game where they're going to have to throw the ball a lot just to stay in it. And I can't believe I'm saying that because they're playing the Jets this week. But it does feel like one of those games. I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt for what we talked about before. The Ravens are allowing 4.5 catches per game to opposing running backs. I think that bodes well for Kareem Hunt.
You're probably right. It's kind of hard, like, just from a viewpoint on your roster when you're just looking at your phone or computer and you're thinking to yourself, oh, like, do I want to start both guys on the same team? Like, but at the same time, if you could just combine, like we talked about last year with the Denver running back, if you could just combine Browns running back into one player, you're probably doing pretty well on a weekly basis for the most part, generally speaking. Let's do Robert's question as well. Then we'll take a quick break and go back to the start sits. Robert in Kelowna, can't decide on my half PPR flex spot, Kenny and Drake or Rashad Bateman, who we did say does look like is going to play today.
I think I'm going to lean Rashad Bateman just because I think that Kenyon Drake kind of takes a back seat to Gus Edwards a little bit. I don't think he gets the same workload as last week. And I like Rashad Bateman, so I'm going to go with Rashad Bateman.
All right, there we go. Bateman it is. And I appreciate everyone who gets up and sends us text, no matter where you are, West Coast, in the middle of the country, Toronto. We do very, very much appreciate it. Still some time to send us some text line questions, 590, 590, name and location. We will answer all of your questions, even if we didn't answer them just now on the air. We will answer all of them after we get out of here at the top of the hour. But let's go back to our start sits, Matt. Giants at Jaguars. We've talked a little bit about this one via the text line questions, but Daniel Jones, you did say that you do like the rushing value that is added via the legs. Obviously, Saquon Barkley is someone you're starting every single week. I see on the remaining text line questions, I see a lot of questions about Wandale Robinson. And I know you're a big fan of Wandale. So where does he rank for you? I have him as kind of like a, just because of the low passing volume in this offense, I got him as a like high-end WR3. But I think he is talented enough that he could probably get you better numbers than that.
Yeah, as long as the snap count continues to go up, I think they're going to use him a little more. I mean, they can't run Saquon Barkley as much as they have throughout the course of an entire season. So I do think that Wandale Robinson gets involved more. He's also got a skill set that bodes well for using him as a gadget guy out of the backfield. We talked about last week, or at least was it last week or on the pod? I can't remember. But we talked about his rushing volume when he was at Nebraska, and then he just became basically a full-time receiver when he was at Kentucky his last season, which was last year. So he's a player that they can use all over the formation. He scored a touchdown last week. I really like Wandale Robinson. He's not Tyreek Hill, but he's built the same way. He's very electric when he has the ball in his hands. I really like Wandale Robinson as a wide receiver 3 flex play, especially because of the volatility across the board with four really good teams being out.
On the Jags side of things as well, Trevor Lawrence, I think, maybe generally speaking, hasn't been as expected so far this year with a new coach. He got off to a good start, but has kind of cooled a little bit. QB2 for me this week. I think the most interesting part of the Jags offensive conversation is, I mean, because like you mentioned, Christian Kirk been a bit of a dud these past couple of weeks. So a flex play at bat, like all of the pass catching options outside of Evan Engram, probably flex plays. And again, Evan Engram is probably, I only don't include him in that conversation because you're not often flexing two tight ends. You know what I mean? So if you are starting Evan Engram, you're probably just starting him in your tight end spot and not in your flex play spot. Because if that's the case, then you probably have other issues, even if it is a lot of bye week hell going on here for you. But the most interesting part of this conversation when it comes to the Jags on a week to week basis to me is the running back situation. Travis Etienne and James Robinson. It certainly seems like the Etienne takeover has taken a teensy kind of sort of small step backward looking back to week six. Etienne played 29 snaps. Robinson played 27. It's pretty much a timeshare, a split here when it comes to the snap distribution. So it probably doesn't point to one over the other, which probably means they're both flex plays, unfortunately, Matt.
Yeah, that's what I have them as, both flex plays. I think that Etienne might have just the higher upside, and I really like James Robinson. But what we can say is that the Giants gave up a lot of rushing yards last week, and it's a situation where we know that the Jags are going to run the ball. Both guys had double-digit carries, double-digit touches. So we're going to see. I think Robinson had 12 carries. I think Etienne had 11, and Robinson had one catch, and I think Etienne had three. So the workload is about the same. You kind of hope that they get into the end zone in this game, because I don't think it's going to happen through the air with this Jags offense this week. The Giants secondary has been really good, better than I expected, especially after they lost James Bradbury in the offseason. Shows how good of a coach Brian Daboll is, and Wink Martindale as a defensive coordinator as well. So I've got both of them as flex plays. Evan Engram revenge game show. It's happening today.
God, I'm sure.
Last 2 weeks, sure five will. Catches, 40 yards and six catches for 69 yards. It is happening. I'm speaking this into existence.
Hashtag revenge for Evan Engram. That's funny. Okay. I'm going to play this back. If Evan Engram has a good or a bad day, we're going to revisit this next week, okay? I'm just letting you know now. Like we revisited the Taysom Hill thing, we're revisiting this next week. Colts at Titans. We kind of talked about a lot of these guys already. Again, when we talked about the Alex Pierce part of this conversation, but Jonathan Taylor finally healthy. You got to start him if he's healthy, period, because of the ceiling he provides. And the Titans, they allow the eighth most fantasy points per game to running back. So, I mean, you were starting Taylor anyways, but that, if you were just on the fence, maybe that makes you feel a little better. Matt Ryan, again, despite 389 yards and three touchdowns last week against the Jaguars, I'm not going to hold my breath and hope that repeats, but still, Matt Ryan, maybe a QB2. And you're starting Michael Pittman regardless, right? It's really just where you rank Alec Pierce. And right now, with the volatility of this offense, I think I'm just saying flex play at best for Alex Pierce, and you just hope for higher. Like, it's a higher-end flex play, maybe even low-end WR3 category.
Yeah, he's been fairly consistent. I mean, that's the one thing with Alec Pierce that we've seen. And coming off that concussion, which I thought was going to end up, you know, taking him a little bit more time to come back and kind of get reacquainted with the offense, but he's had no less than 49 yards. So in the game that he had 49 yards, which was last week, he had three catches on seven targets. He did have a touchdown. So in every other game, he's been 61 yards or more, and at least one touchdown in the last four games. So he's consistently putting up the volume, and that the 49 yards last week was preceded by 81, 80, and 61, where he had 5, 6, and 9 targets, and then 7 last week. So the target share is there. I do believe that he's in the back end wide receiver 3 conversation, and I'm good with that. As for what you were saying about Jonathan Taylor, yeah, he's going to start. I'm curious to see, though, what happens behind him. Like Deion Jackson last week, and I was totally wrong on this one, so we could have played that tape back. I thought Philip Lindsay was going to end up getting the majority of the carries. Jackson had 10 catches and 12 carries. I did not see that one coming. Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens. I know they're paying Nyheim Hines a lot of money, but Jackson was really good in that role. I wonder if he eats into whatever Nyheim Hines has left.
Yeah, I mean, I also kind of wonder too if because Taylor hasn't seen the field so much, if they're just going to feed him the ball over and over and over and over again, right? Like, I wouldn't put too much stock this particular week into what happens behind him, only because even if there is something to be had with Deion Jackson, I bet you don't see a lot of it this week after he got a little dinged last week after a tremendous performance, like you said, the 10 catches, like, my goodness. And Jonathan Taylor missing some time, so they're going to just... I bet he sees, like, 30-plus carries today, honestly, with Jonathan Taylor, regardless of what the score is, honestly. It's what I feel like. On the Titans side of things, okay, I think this is a short conversation. Are you starting anyone not named Derrick Henry on the Titans offense?
Here's another thing I wrote. Maybe Robert Woods?
Right.
Question mark? I'm Ron Burgundy? Who put the question mark in the teleprompter? I can't say that I'm trusting even Robert Woods with any sort of confidence. I'm going to leave him on the bench. Like, again, if you're in a pinch because of the bye weeks and injuries, and God knows there's lots of guys out with injury and the bye weeks doesn't help, then Robert Woods may be in a flex spot. But other than that, I'm not starting anybody with confidence other than Derrick Henry.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. That's my favorite. I think it's my favorite part of that whole movie. Let's do one more quick start set before we take a quick break. Packers at Commanders. Again, I think this is like a relatively short conversation because even though Aaron Rodgers has been not great so far this year, fantasy-wise, I think he is still going to be in the lower end of QB1 ranges most weeks. And this week against a Commanders defense that is just not very good, you can probably feel okay at least about starting Rodgers. You're still starting Aaron Jones most week, RB2, A.J. Dillon, probably a flex play at this point. And we kind of talked about this already with the text line questions with Alan Lazard, probably a WR2 for me, which kind of the only person that really leaves at this point, the only people I should say, are Romeo Dubs and Robert Tonyan. And I don't know if Sammy Watkins plays this week or not, but even so, you're not starting him. But Dubs has been up and down, right? Like, he's a WR3, it would seem, but there's just not a lot of things standing in his way from being a more reliable wide receiver from a fantasy point of view.
Yeah, and he kind of has become a little bit of a touchdown-dependent guy, right? And it's not because of the skill set, necessarily. It's more just because of this offense and how disjointed they've looked without Davante Adams. And I get it. When you lose a player like that, it's going to take a hit. But when you talk about Dubs, like the last 4 weeks, he's only had 1 week where he's had less than 8 targets. The problem is what do those targets look like? Last week against the Jets, he had 9 targets, but he only had 4 catches for 21 yards. He's kind of a volatile flex play who could very well get volume. I mean, Sammy Watkins could eat into that volume, sure, if he plays today. But Sammy Watkins, if he plays today, and I'm not even trying to say this like as a joke, probably gets hurt because that's what Sammy Watkins does. So Romeo Dubs is the flex play. I know Tonyan led the team in receiving last week, but as far as I can remember, I mean, the Washington defense hasn't been good, generally speaking, but they are good against tight ends. So that part, I would be hesitant with Robert Tonyan. He's probably in the conversation as like a back-end tight end one with some upside because he has Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback.
I will say as well, don't forget, Randall Cobb is out for a couple of weeks. And I know that sounds like crazy to say, like, oh, who cares? But with Cobb out, and Rodgers had been looking Cobb's way more frequently in the last maybe 2 to 3 weeks, with Cobb out and maybe Sammy Watkins kind of questionable, who knows, if he doesn't play, I think that just bodes well, more well certainly for Lazard, but I think also for Dubs as well. I mean, again, the floor is pretty low, but it raises the ceiling and just by a smidge at least. On the Commander side of things, again, we had the part of this conversation before. We'll revisit it very quickly here. The backfield, kind of a quagmire, right? It's a bit of a committee right now with Robinson and Gibson and JD McKissick. They all basically make each other flex plays at this point. You're not really starting Taylor Heinicke with Carson Wentz on the IR for at least a month. I do think it does. We talked about this before, but I do think it does boost Terry McLaurin a little bit. Maybe it brings Curtis Samuel down a little bit. And that's probably about it at this point.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment on the offense. It looks like Jahan Dotson's a long shot to play today. So, yeah. I mean, we can kind of take him out of the conversation. Curtis Samuel wasn't great last week in a tough matchup against the Bears, but he's probably a flex play because of how they use him. Hopefully, Taylor Heinicke, because of his ability to get out of the pocket, might be able to create plays outside the pocket, whereas, you know, he's a little bit more athletic than Carson Wentz is at this point. So that might help a guy like Curtis Samuel. But you're right about the running backs. I mean, Robinson and Gibson are flex plays at best. McKissick is even McKissick. I can't even get him into my lineup. I just don't have the confidence in that. It's a muddy situation, something that we need to monitor, but certainly not one that you look at and go, yeah, no, I have a lot of confidence in that, because you absolutely do not.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Ali. You're listening to The Fantasy Show. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. More start sits straight ahead. And if we have some time, we'll sprinkle in some more texts on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Name and location is where you can text us. We'll answer all of your start sit questions before games get underway in about 4 hours' time. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Sho and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho and Matt with you. One more segment to go as we get set for week 7 across the NFL. Injury news and notes, your start sits, and of course, the People's Text Line, your text line questions at 590-590, name and location. Shoot us as many text line questions as you want. We'll answer all of them before kickoff goes at 1 p.m. Eastern. Let's continue with our start sit mats. Matt, we have six more to go. Jets at Broncos is the next one here. I actually think this is a relatively short conversation for both teams because for the Broncos defense, pretty good, obviously. The Jets defense, shockingly pretty good as well. And with Brett Rypien starting here, I believe the nephew or the son of Mark Rypien, right? He's the nephew.
I think he's the nephew, yeah.
Right. So Brett Rypien is starting in place of Russell Wilson. So, from the Broncos side of things, that downgrades basically everyone. Like, I'm an owner of Courtland Sutton. He's on the bench this week. I'm not starting Courtland Sutton. Maybe that's a mistake, but based on the way the Jets have played so far this season, I don't feel confident about the Denver offense, and I just don't know how many people can. But on the Broncos side of things, beyond if you have to start Sutton as a WR3, perhaps, maybe Latavius Murray, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know how good you can feel about any of these guys.
Yeah. How about we start nobody?
Nobody.
Like, I have Sutton and Judy as flex plays. And that was even before Russell Wilson was ruled out because the Jets defense has been a lot better. If you can go pick up the Jets, like I picked up the Jets basically everywhere because I have the Eagles defense in a few leagues. So yeah, I picked up the Jets everywhere. I guess it's a quick conversation with the Jets as well. Like yeah. Elijah Moore is inactive today. Garrett Wilson's unstartable. The only guy you could start maybe is Corey Davis and Breece Hall. He's the stud that we thought he was going to be. Running back 5 the last 4 weeks. And I'm sitting Zach Wilson as well. So I don't know, like maybe 3 guys that you could start not even comfortably. One guy in this whole game you can start comfortably is Breece Hall. And then the only 2 other things that you could do comfortably is start the Broncos defense and the Jets defense. And that's pretty much it.
Well, and the thing too about Breece Hall, and I'm not saying this to scare anyone, but it's just that the Broncos defense gives up the 3rd fewest rushing touchdowns of all teams and doesn't give up a whole lot of rushing yards either. So this is, suffice to say that it will likely be a pretty low scoring game. But again, like you said, Breece Hall is the highest, most quality starter, let's say, of any guy in this game. And that's kind of where the conversation ends. Let's go to the next one. Texans at Raiders. Again, probably a short conversation for the Texans as it is every week. Now that they're back off the bye, you are starting Damian Pierce, and you can probably feel pretty good about it because he has basically completely assumed control of that backfield. And Brandon Cooks is the pass catcher, right? Like he's the guy who you're relying on. Still probably a WR3, maybe if you're being really generous, like a super low-end WR2. Nico Collins is, again, maybe if you're like in a 16-team league, maybe you can start Nico Collins, but that's about it, I'd say.
You know what? The guy that I was actually very interested in this week, and you're going to shake your head at me, I'm actually very interested in Davis Mills this week.
Okay.
Vegas has allowed the most points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And last year at the end of the season, we saw Davis Mills, I believe of the last like 8 weeks, he finished as a QB1, like, 5 times. So there is some upside there. The Raiders defense has not been as good as I thought it might be. It's actually been pretty horrible. So he's a sneaky start for me this week.
Okay. You know what? That's not bad. I will say, as someone starting Brandon Cooks in some of my leagues, I hope that's the case because I need Brandon Cooks to have a big game. On the Raiders side of things, I think you can probably solidly say that Derek Carr is a QB2 at this point because he just, despite having more weapons, He has not produced at the rate you would have liked him produced at this point, but still QB2 status for Derek Carr for me. Josh Jacobs, here's a wild stat. He has 91 carries in the season. The next closest running back in Las Vegas is Brandon Bolden, who has seven to 91. That's crazy. Like Bolden and Zamir White are not involved in this backfield at all. Who would have thought of all teams that the team that is really operating with a bell cow offense for their running back are the Raiders. That's pretty remarkable. So he's an RB1. I think Davante Adams, who apparently, I guess he's not going to get suspended after pushing the cameraman or the photographer or whatever after that game, the loss last week. So I guess he is starting, which I would say makes him a low end WR1, maybe even high end WR2, just because of the passing volume here for him. But beyond that, Hunter Renfro, he was questionable. Looks like he will play, but even so, probably flex play at best. And Darren Waller, injuries with Darren Waller. Is he even starting? I'm not even.
He's out today.
He is out. Okay. So then if he is out, I would like to say that does mean more targets for Hunter Renfro, but honestly, what it'll probably mean is more carries for Josh Jacobs at this point.
Yeah. And Foster Moreau, who in place of Darren Waller last year had some pretty good weeks. And he's kind of a punt play start at tight end if you need to. Hunter Renfro is just his season high in three games this year is 59 yards, and he didn't eclipse 25 yards in the other two games. He's gone from a really reliable player. And I know the addition of Davante Adams was going to take away, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Yeah,
he had the concussion. He missed 2 weeks. I get all that. But honestly, I thought Hunter Renfro was going to finish as, a top 18 wide receiver. And that is not going to be the case, barring some miracle. So outside of Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs, I mean, you're probably starting Derek Carr because of the week and because of the injuries. So I'm gonna say that other than those three guys, I'm not really starting anybody with a lot of comfortability.
Let's move on to our next start sit, Seahawks at Chargers, pardon me. And Geno Smith, here's a wild stat. There are four quarterbacks in all of football with a QB rating above 100 through 6 weeks in the NFL season. Okay, their names are Tua Tagovailoa, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Geno Smith. That's the conversation. First of all, it's actually crazy that Tua is in there too, but I guess he qualified because he played really well and then he missed some time. So he still is a qualified passer. But apart from him, I mean, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that's company you want to be in. And then the next guy is Geno Smith. He has been absolutely phenomenal. I still think probably QB2 this week. I mean, that's probably where I'm going to rank him most weeks. And then if he gets a better matchup, you can vault him into the QB1 range. Kind of like the same conversation we've had often about Jared Goff, it would feel like. So again, if you're in a bye week situation, if you don't have Jalen Hurts, for example, I think you'd probably feel good about starting old Geno. Kenneth Walker is, I think, above a flex play because the Chargers defense, fourth most in all of football allowed to opposing running backs, which is absolutely wild. So if they hand the ball off to Kenneth Walker as much as you think they will, you can definitely start him. And DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, probably respectively, I'm saying WR2, WR3, Matt.
Yeah, just keep an eye on Lockett. He popped up on the injury report with a hamstring injury, so it's something that we do have to monitor. Ken Walker was a stud last week, and the Chargers run defense sucks. So, I mean, it's Lockett if he can go. If he can't, that increases targets for DK Metcalf and probably the tight ends. And I would lean Noah Fant if I had to pick one of the three. He had a good week last week and maybe finally catching the eye of Geno Smith, because we know the talent's there with Noah Fant. It's just he's got to get the work. Outside of that, I mean, the Geno Smith story is crazy to me. And I know it's they wrote me off, but I didn't write back and all that great stuff. But Geno Smith has come a long way, and he's the fact that he is in that kind of company, with Josh Allen and in any category, it doesn't even matter. If he's in the company of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, that's elite. It's full stop. So you can start him against the Chargers defense, I think, with pretty much comfortability at this point, just because he's been so good and he hasn't really shown signs of slowing down.
On the Chargers side of things, I think the usual suspects are going to be in your starting lineup: Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams. Again, you said this last week to me, but I think he is probably the biggest boomer bust wide receiver, maybe in all of football at this point. I mean, we all knew what we were signing up with him, and then we got exactly that. So it's like that meme from Arrested Development when like he looks in the bag and he's like, I don't know what I expected, right? It's like, that's exactly what it is. So I'm saying Mike Williams probably a WR3 this week, and you hope for more, especially if Keenan Allen doesn't play. And again, Keenan Allen is, I think they're going to test out the hamstring pregame, but it feels like they're leaning towards him not playing. So if I were you, and I'm in this same boat as well as an Allen owner in a couple leagues, I would just prepare as though he is not playing and make some backup arrangements if at all possible. Let's boogie through these last couple here as well, Matt. Chiefs at 49ers, the last one before we get to our primetime games. And of course, this is the one where Christian McCaffrey kind of muddles things a little bit if you're trying to determine who to start from a 49ers perspective. But again, like I said off the top, I'd rather start Christian McCaffrey and lose than have him on the bench and have him explode, right? If he is active today, you start him. I think that's the simplest way of putting it, which obviously makes Jeff Wilson Jr. probably irrelevant, unfortunately. And beyond that, I think you're starting Deebo Samuel every week. You're probably starting George Kittle every week, even if you have lowered expectations for Kittle, despite him being a supremely talented player. He just blocks a lot. He's a vicious blocker, which is great, but I don't think many of us play in a points per block league, man.
I don't. So I don't know if anybody else does, because he would be elite in that category.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk had a much better week than I thought he was going to last week. And we can kind of put him into that back end wide receiver 3 flex conversation. And in part because the Chiefs do tend to give up points. And if the Chiefs get ahead early, you know, they're going to play a lot of zone and try and take away the deep ball, which, I mean, it's not like the Niners throw a lot of deep balls, but they're going to take that away to avoid giving up a ton of points, and there's going to be a lot of cheap yards available. Casey's also not great against running backs. Like, Devin Singletary basically had his way with the Chiefs last week, and Devin Singletary is not among the 15 best running backs in football right now. So if Christian McCaffrey plays, it's those high-value touches. You're starting him anyway, but I think that there's going to be some value there for him. As long as he doesn't have an issue with the legs following the flight from Carolina to San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, you get him in your lineup if at all possible. From the Chiefs side of things, again, a pretty short conversation. You're starting Mahomes. You're starting Kelce every week. We gave you the news that Isaiah Pacheco is going to start over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So if he's available on the waiver wire, I saw some people on the text line did run to grab him earlier this morning. So that's great news. I think, again, it depends on what the kind of touches they give him. But again, I think you can probably start him as a flex play at least and see how it goes, essentially, right? Because I do think that there is some value to having the guy who got the first team reps and who is starting in a particular game as on a high powered offense like Kansas City. So if that's the case, you can definitely consider starting Pacheco, but probably I would say no more than a flex play. Let's get to the last couple of games here, Matt. Steelers at Dolphins. And again, a relatively short conversation for the Steelers, because apart from Pickens and Deontay Johnson, not a lot of guys you can start. Najee Harris has been a disappointment this year. He maybe is injured. The offensive line is not great. The offense just general is a bit sluggish. Whatever you want to pin it on, he is probably an RB2 at best at this point.
Yeah, and I just like it's just been so disappointing, because I mean I had him as a regression candidate for sure, but I had him at like RB9.
Yeah, like not this bad.
I didn't have him this bad. This is pathetic. It's the only reason why I would have any sort of confidence in him is that he gets the carries near the goal line, and the Dolphins defense isn't very good. So I think that's why I have him in that kind of back end RB2 conversation. And as for the wide receivers, I like Pickens in this spot. I like Johnson. I know Claypool had the great week last week, but that's not going to be a consistent thing. The Dolphins have allowed multiple double digit fantasy games to wide receivers in full PPR scoring. And they've done that in 4 of 6 matchups. So 2 wide receivers in a game in 4 of 6 matchups have had double digit points in full PPR. So you can start Pickens, you can start Johnson. And I think you can be pretty comfortable that they're going to get the workload that is necessary. It is a Sunday night game, so at least you have some players to watch. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really high scoring game on Sunday night.
Yeah, and you can start a lot of guys for the Dolphins as well. Tua is back. They allow the 7th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So Tua locked in, I would say, as a lower-end QB1. Raheem Mostert, we got a lot of questions about him, but he has clearly taken over the backfield over Chase Edmonds. He's basically non-existent. So Mostert is the guy. I would say like an RB3 slash flex play for Mostert as well. But I'm getting him in my lineup because the Steelers defense has not been great. And then you got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle as your WR1, WR2. With Tua back, I think you can feel good about starting either of those guys. If this was like a Teddy Bridgewater, Skylar Thompson conversation, that's a different kind of conversation entirely. But Tua is back, and we know he likes throwing them the ball and is very capable of doing so. So the concentrated distribution to just those two guys looks pretty good on the stat sheets. And let's wrap up with Bears and Patriots. Matt, we got 5 minutes left here. Bears, the offense does not look great. And on the other side of things, the Patriots defense has looked pretty good. I mean, I know they're playing lesser competition, so you definitely have to take that into account. It's like when we see the Jets game next week for the Patriots and when we eventually see them play the Bills, we're going to have different conversations about the Patriots defense. But as long as they're playing the Bears in a primetime spot, I think you might see some fantasy points given up to Fields, but generally speaking, the Patriots are very good at taking away your best option. And I would say the best option for the Bears would be David Montgomery. And so if that's the case, I am ranking Montgomery as maybe a middling RB2 this week specifically.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a slog for the Bears. The Patriots defense has been just better than expected. And here's what I will say. You know, I'm a big Justin Fields guy. Justin Fields in the last 3 weeks is QB15, and he is a recalled rushing touchdown, it was an incredible run that I think they took away for a hold, and a Darnell Mooney almost TD where he was tackled at like the 3-inch line. He would be like QB6 in that same stretch. So we are getting closer to seeing Justin Fields start to emerge, and that's with him having no offensive line and basically no receivers outside of Darnell Mooney, who, by the way, has put himself back into the wide receiver 3 conversation. I think if anybody's going to have any sort of value, it's going to be Mooney. And Justin Fields has some value, too. Let's not forget that the Pats gave up over 100 rushing yards to Lamar Jackson earlier this season. So I do think that Justin Fields has a pretty decent floor. I know if you're in a league where interceptions are very punitive, he's a tougher start. But if it's like -1 for an interception, I would be okay with starting Justin Fields this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? The Patriots defense gives up the 15th most fantasy points to QBs this year. And I am curious to see what happens here because the Patriots defense are... Okay, let me put it another way. Mac Jones turned the ball over a lot in that Ravens game in short fields, and they punched it in with Lamar Jackson basically every time the Patriots turned it over. So I don't know if Mac Jones starts on Monday. I think he is pushing to play, but even if it is Bailey Zappe, they've been running... If it is Zappe, they've been running a more conservative offense, so maybe that just doesn't lend itself to a lot of possessions for either team. It just feels like this might be a very low possession, low scoring game. Like it's like a 15-9 type of game, which is not great for Monday Night Football. I'm excited to watch the Manning cast of this game with Peyton and Eli, because I feel like those are the kinds of games they oddly seem to live for, because they just love watching all the checkdowns and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I mentioned the QB situation for the Patriots. It does mean that there are not a lot of guys you can start offensively. It's basically Jacoby Myers from a pass-catching standpoint, and then Stevenson and Damian Harris, who is healthy and is expected to play from a running back point of view. I mean, I guess Hunter Henry if you're desperate, but I don't know. Avoid him if you can, I think.
Yeah, I would say that. Like, Ramondre is really good even with Harris there. And if Harris can go, I still think this is Ramondre Stevenson's backfield. We heard about this potential takeover as the season began, and it's going to be an offense where they're going to run the ball, you know, 30 times a week. That's the way that they're going to do it, because even though they're starting Mac Jones, I'm not sure where the confidence level is in Mac Jones to throw the ball 35 times a week. I just don't see that that's an option for them. Bailey Zappe, maybe they have more confidence in, although they're going to probably start Mac Jones. I like Stevenson. I like Harris. I like Myers. I really like Myers a lot. It is a tough matchup this week against the Bears, because we saw them pretty much blanket Curtis Samuel last week. Granted, I mean, Carson Wentz stinks, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, should be an interesting Monday nighter, probably low scoring. You're right.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on that one. That does it for our start sits. this week. Matt, good luck this week, and best of luck in our work league. I don't know if you're starting two tight ends again, but best of luck, man.
I am. It's going to be a nightmare. My team's in shambles with the bye week and injuries.
All right, well, that's Matt Marchese. Good luck to his tight ends. Good luck to you all here as you texted us here at 590-590. We'll answer all of your text line questions on the People's Text Line after the show ends. Again, you can shoot us a text at 590-590. We'll answer all of those before we get underway at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'm Sho Ali. That's Matt Marchese. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.